It's Saturday, July 16th, 2022, and we haven't talked about Ukraine in a hot minute. Who would have guessed that the last episode we did, Abortion Without Borders, would preclude the June 24th ruling Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, which overturned the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling? We certainly didn't. And a lot has happened since that last episode we released on April 14th. If you don't mind me getting personal, Abortion Without Borders, that episode, put me in a funk. I can talk about it right now, but for nearly 3 months, I haven't been able to read the news, sit down to write, or even think clearly. My phone tells me I've been spending upwards of 7 hours a day just staring at the screen. The thing is, that episode hit a little too close to home. The subject of rape and forced birth, the fact that Ukrainian women seeking refuge in nearby Poland were being counseled on giving birth instead of being granted access to abortion, well, I have a daughter, an 11-year-old daughter, and as I read and researched follow-up episodes, I kept going back to abortion. We were lucky, I thought, here in the United States, that individual states, those with trigger laws, were at least held at bay by Roe v. Wade. If the unthinkable were to happen to my daughter here in Tennessee, at least there was a path. With the June 24th ruling, there is no more path in Tennessee, which is where I live. Rather, access to abortion in Tennessee now puts us on the same level as Poland. Poland, the country that victims of war rape, the country that violated women need to flee in order to receive undeniably necessary abortions, Tennessee is now that country. If you're in a trigger state and you've been listening to this podcast, I really need you to consider our inescapable truth. Ours are states that require people to flee, like refugees. This episode is short because I at least owe you the closure of knowing where this season is going and how we're looking at the war in Ukraine at the moment, and that I haven't died. Since late February, the United States has put together 15 total spending packages to provide aid to Ukraine. All told, the United States has committed $7 billion to help Ukraine fight the Russian invasion. $7 billion doesn't seem right, does it? It feels like we've spent tens of billions or hundreds of billions of dollars. I had to Google this several times to make sure that it was correct, and it's been hard to keep it straight, but $7 billion is the number. Back in April, I genuinely hoped that the international community, the United Nations, NATO, whoever, all of them, would work aggressively to get Russia out of Ukraine. I, for one, thought there's no way Russia will plod on seemingly forever, just blasting residential buildings and kidnapping mayors. But for fuck's sake, that's exactly what's happened. That's what's happening now. At least things have changed somewhat. Russian troops have been pushed back by Ukrainian advances, pushed out of the north towards Belarus, but Russia has successfully occupied nearly the entire eastern and southeastern area of Ukraine, the area known as the Donbas and the Crimean Peninsula. The death toll on the Ukrainian side is staggering. An estimated 28 civilians and 10,000 soldiers are dead. In Mariupol alone, the location of an extended stalemate that left residents without food, water, heat, and power for a long time. The death toll is an estimated 22,000 civilians. Mariupol, in Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's words, is, quote, completely destroyed, end quote. In the port city of Kherson in the south, residents have been told to evacuate by Ukraine's Deputy Prime Minister, Irina Vereshchuk, as the Ukrainian armed forces have planned a counteroffensive on Russian occupiers, and intense shelling is expected. In the grand scheme of things, the global inability to step in and step up to Russia has resulted in gross war crimes against Ukrainian citizens, and most notably, children. Russia has kidnapped an estimated 234,000 Ukrainian children and taken them into Russian territory. That's 230,000 children out of 1.2 million Ukrainians forcibly removed to Russia altogether. This is a war crime, not just a war crime, but a form of genocide, just like war rape. The Russian military is raping Ukrainians, kidnapping children, and targeting civilian infrastructure. The world sits by. The world has been sitting by. We have argued, we have speculated, we have hemmed and hawed. The people you voted for, the people in power, the people with bombs and guns, they're okay with war crimes being done to civilians. They don't care, and I don't know any other way to report on a war other than to say we're complicit in these war crimes. we swim in blood too, because we keep voting for these fuckers, and they keep twiddling their thumbs. What they sell as pragmatism is really just slow genocide. I have decided to end my reporting on the war in Ukraine. We have reached the point where anything other than surrender or a mutiny is simply not news. I'm sorry to leave you with such a sad episode, with such a failure of completion. But Ukraine is an international failure in itself, so future episodes of Unfuck the Poor will be focusing on other topics. There is another episode in the works, and you guessed it, it's on Roe v. Wade. I suppose you can expect some occasional updates on the war in Ukraine, but reporting daily death tolls and bombings is really not the highlight of anyone's day.